Narayana Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Vanadari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janna Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balava Giri Banadari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janna Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Giri Govardhan Jaya Giri Govardhan Jaya Giri Govardhan Jaya Giri Govardhan Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Jaya Radhe Shyam. Jai Nitya Lila Pravista Astatar Sata Sisi Man His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasi Gaura Bhakti Sri Radha Shama Sunda Gopa Gopinath Shama Kundarada Kundi Gita Govardhan Ki Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur Ki Jai Gaura Bhimanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 23, Text 23. Nima Jasmin Hid Ade Biru Vimanam Idam Aruha Idam Sukla Kritam Tirtam Aishi Sham Yapakam Ninum Nima Jasmin Hirhade Biru Vimanam Idam Aruha Idam Sukla Kritam Tirtam Aishisham yapakam ninam. Please chant. This Suklakritam, created by Lord Vishnu. Tirtham, sacred lake. Aishisham, the desires. Yapakam, bestowing. Ninam, of human beings. Translation. My dear Devahuti, you look very much afraid. First, bathe in Lake Bindu Sarovara, created by Lord Vishnu himself, which can grant all the desires of a human being, and then mount this airplane. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is still the system to go to places of pilgrimage and take a bath in the water there. In Vrindavan, the people take baths in the river Jamuna. In other places, such as Prayag, they take bath in the river Ganges. The words Tirtham Aishasam Yapakam refer to the fulfillment of desires by bathing in a place of pilgrimage. Kardama Muni advised his good wife to bathe in Lake Bindu Sarovara so that she could revive the former beauty and luster of her body. Om Jnana Timadandasya Jnanjana Shalakaiha Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangumlam Jayate Girim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinitarino Sri Guru Paramananda Premananda Pralapada Bhajanan Manananda Seva Mina Jaya Vanchakapatirubhischa Kripa Sindhu Baheva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasiri Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. By your recitation, one attains transcendental bliss because your syllables shower pure love of God. You are to be served by everyone, always, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the invincible Lord Sri Krishna. Simply by meditating upon his lotus feet, I have been able to study and appreciate this great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. So we're continuing in the, for practical description, household affairs of Devahuti and Kadama Muni. There's a couple of unspoken points in this verse. In this very first sentence, it mentions how Devahuti had a certain look of fear about her. This is actually a sign of her humility. Her husband has created this massive palace that's basically an airplane of monumental size. When we travel by plane, we become very happy if we get the opportunity for a first-class ticket. The seat goes out into a bed, and they have a little area where you can walk around and converse with other passengers, and you know, you have plenty of space to move around in this little area there. So this is considered, oh, this is very nice, you know, this is good. We can't even begin to imagine this vimana, this airplane that's been created in the form of this huge castle, this palace. And this is for Devahuti. She's a little embarrassed to take it, you know. She's been, like her husband, in the forest performing these great austerities for quite some time. The natural, even enhanced beauty that would be in her feminine form is completely gone. Previous verses have described how, you know, her bodily luster, her beauty, her effulgence, nice silk garments, cosmetics, decorations of the hair, all of these things that she would have done in her circumstances previously have all been taken away, given up, actually, by her own choice. And if one lives in the forest, if one performs great austerities, one reduces their eating, their sleeping, all of their functions like this, then the body shows it, takes a toll on the body physically. Sometimes devotees perform different vratas, Chaturmasya vrata, 4 months of eating once a day very simply and, you know, giving up all kinds of things, and they lose a considerable amount of weight and they look very drawn. You know, this, I mean, there's an effulgence to them because they're performing austerities, but physically the body manifests a different look. So we see that this is there in Devahuti, and she therefore feels a bit hesitant, maybe even unqualified to take up residence in this grand palace. You know, if you have a some kind of a big function, and there's all kinds of people there dressed to the nines, as they say, and someone comes in dressed very shabbily and not bathed and looking very disheveled, everyone thinks, who is this person? Get them out of here. They don't belong here. So Devahuti is thinking like this, and I don't belong in a place like that. So that's one point. The next point is that her husband is able to detect this. She hasn't said anything. She hasn't said, oh, you know, I shouldn't do this. No, this is too much. Or, no, she just, her persona. And so he's able to detect this. Now, this indicates a very suitable relationship between the husband and wife. The husband and wife should have such a relationship that they can understand the subtleties of each other. I mean, after all, you've been living with this person for, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, you know, however long it's been. Sometimes it seems much longer than it is. And this requires a certain understanding of the other person. Just like if you have a best friend, The reason you're best friends is you've done a lot of things together, you've had a lot of experiences together, you've talked with each other, you've shared your mind. This is one of the instructions that's given by Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita as far as the type of love devotees share, is sharing their mind, revealing the mind, and accepting your friend to reveal their mind. So this is what builds friendships, this is what builds relationships. Similarly, this is what builds a good marriage, is just back and forth like this. So Kodama Muni clearly has this. Now, at the same time, he's quite an advanced and renounced sage. This doesn't mean cut off from emotions. It means you understand them properly and how they fit into the broader picture. So he understands this about his wife. So there's these two points right off the bat there. Then he has a solution. The solution is to go to this place, Bindu Sarovara. Bindu Sarovara, Lake Bindu Sarovara, is a very amazing place. It's formed by the tears of Lord Vishnu. And so you can imagine the potency of this water in this kund. So he's encouraging you go there. And by bathing in that place, all desires will come. Now, generally speaking, if we say to someone, okay, if you do such and such, all your desires will be fulfilled. They start ticking off the list. Okay, I got this, and I want that, and I got to have this, and okay, we'll get that, and then this will come, and okay, you know. And for each person, that list will be different, you know. Each person will have a particular set of desires that they want. But in this situation, this isn't about fulfilling material desires. Just like when Hiranyakasipu was performing his austerities, he stood up on the tips of his toes with his hands stretched to the sky for thousands of years. So much so that the ants ate away all the flesh on his body, and all that was left was the bones, and the soul was just circulating in that structure. So Lord Brahma came, and with this sacred water from his water pot, he poured it onto, and he was rejuvenated. So this is the benefit that's going to be there of her taking her bath in the Bindu Sarovara, is that the youthful luster, the beauty, the amazing appearance, all of her natural qualities physically are all going to be returned. So this is what he's suggesting. And then you'll feel comfortable. You'll feel like you fit right in, entering into a palace with such a, you know, high level of opulence. So in this way, we see that this is there. Now, Prabhupada makes a point here about bathing in such sacred places. How many have bathed in the Jamuna River? How many have actually been able to bathe in it before it was as polluted as it was? Now, most people just go, they take a few drops and sprinkle on the head, you know. I won't say most people, but there are a number of people in it. And then you have your devout, serious Jamuna Bhaktas, which go and they still do their full daily bath in the Jamuna River. So, at any rate, this takes place there, the Jamuna, Gange Cha, Jamuni Chaiva, Godavari, Saraswati, all the different sacred rivers, one can go and take their bath in these places. In the Ganges, there at Mayapur, it's very easy to just go and take the bath there. So these are the things which give one some result of austerity, because it's an austerity. Here in the West, we become quite accustomed to our bathing scenario. We'll go into a room and there's a little cubicle, so to speak, and the water comes out, we turn it on, oh, that's too cold, oh, a little hot, oh, that's too hot, just a little cold, oh, that's just right. It's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears in the shower, you know, oh, the water's too hot, no, no, oh, there, it's just right. And then we're very happy to be there, or maybe we fill that big tub up with water and then put some Epsom salt and some lavender in there and then lay in there and soak for a while. And so we've grown accustomed to this. But this type of bathing in the Jamuna is for a different function. It's for the process of seva and purification. Service to the Jamuna, we might say, how am I serving the Jamuna? We're serving her by honoring her and understanding the potency of her water. And we're doing purification because that water is so pure it can give one that relief. So this is an important aspect of this verse also, this going and taking there. And then we see this final statement in the verse here, the use of the word vimana, airplane. Now, we generally do not think of airplanes existing in the time of Lord Krishna, or much, much earlier as this is taking place. Because our idea of air cranes is this huge vessel that takes up so much petrol or oil or diesel or fuel, and it's got to have water in there, and all these facilities, you know, that are really quite detrimental to the planet. But here we're talking about airplanes that float by mantra. This is something basically unperceivable by us. But we know from the Bhagavatam it's there. And we know that these different types of planes are of different materials. Swan planes, you know, this is the things of grim fairy tales or, you know, the stories that children would read. But no, they're swan planes. This is what the personalities ride on. And different individuals have different types of carriers. We discussed this a few classes ago with the students. Excuse me. So here we have this mention of airplanes because they were not limited by the gross material elements, but they were impacted by the spiritual potency of the mantras. So this is a short verse, but it's got some very important points in there. And as it is mentioning about the principle of householders and families, it's quite appropriate because today is the appearance day of Vrindavan Das Thakur. And Vrindavan Das Thakur is a very amazing personality. It's safe to say on one hand that we really have no access to the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without the service of a handful of devotees who have produced great literatures for us to study. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mangala, Chaitanya Bhagavat, these types of books, and there's a whole series of them. These were put together by the associates of Mahaprabhu for our benefit. And this is how we can come to understand our connection with the Acharyas. We, from the perspective of universal time, we kind of forget that we're actually, practically speaking, in the same time period as Lord Chaitanya. 500 years is nothing in universal time. So, you know, we have the access to read about these things due to the service of these personalities. And some of the histories of these personalities are more well known than others. Vrindavan Das Thakur, there's a fair amount given. A lot of the information about him is from Bhakti Ratnakar. And it mentions a bit about his family. His father was Vaikunthanath Vipra, and his mother was Narayani. And generally speaking, the family line is dominated by the patriarchal side, by the father's side. You identify yourself as such and such person's son and so on. In this situation, the mother takes the strong prominence for a couple of reasons. One, because of her own background. She was the daughter of Nalini Pandit. And Nalini Pandit was the brother of someone you'll recognize, Srinivas Pandit. Srivas Pandit, there were five brothers in the family of Srivas. Srivas, Sriram, Sripati, Srinidhi, and Srinalini. And interestingly enough, we see that not everyone in Srivas' siblinghood of his brothers was a follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this we might find a little surprising, but we see even in our current day devotee families, not all the members of the family are going to end up following so strictly to the devotional path. So we see that here, that Srinalini was not such a follower of Mahaprabhu. So the interesting thing is that Vrindavan Das Thakur, his father also was not much of a follower of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this gives the prominence to the mother's side, who's connected to Srivas Pandit and such a great personality. His mother, it's interesting here, Kavi Karnapur, who is a real source for who's who, he mentions that there were two sisters in Krishna Leela, Kalimbika and Ambika. And they were always engaged in the service of the Lord. And in Krishna, in Gaura Leela, Ambika became Narayani, who was the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. So we see this long connection there from her side of the family. Now, she became very famous because in her childhood, she was given the remnants of Lord Chaitanya. We talked about this in the classes with the students, of devotees would get the opportunity to eat the remnants of Lord Chaitanya's Mahaprasad. And so at the Mahaprakash Leelas at Srivasangam, Narayani was simply a young child. And Lord Chaitanya gave her Mahaprasadam. Chaitanya Bhagavat describes that he ordered her to chant. And, you know, she called out the names of Krishna and became filled with ecstasy. You can just imagine you're in Lord Chaitanya's presence. He gives you Mahaprasadam. He tells you to chant. And, I mean, just such an amazing thing. So in this way, she was, from a very young age, completely devoted to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And all the household servants, Srivas's wife and everyone, they were just so amazed that this young child was so devoted. We see this if, you know, we see when children are little and they do something, you know, very cute and devotional, everybody's very happy to see that, you know, because we want to see that the children are taking up these devotional activities. It gives us a great satisfaction. So Chaitanya Bhagavat continues, he says, as a result of her great devotional activities, even though she was an unschooled girl of a young age, she received the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, in due course of time, she was married by Vaikunthanath Vipra and gave birth to Vrindavan Das Thakur. Not Thakur at the time, just Vrindavan Das. Unfortunately, shortly after giving birth, while the child was still quite young, her husband passed away. And so now here we have this young mother with a very young baby, but it's a very, very good family connection. So they moved to Srivas's house. You can just imagine the hub of activity that was the home of Srivas Pandit. So many kirtans were going on there. Lord Chaitanya is coming there. Nityananda's spending much of his time there. This is the real focal point, we could say, of much of the Navadvip activities at the time. And in due course of time, Srivas arranged for her to stay with Vasudev Dutt. Now, Vasudev Dutt, of course, we know he's a very important personality with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And, you know, he's the one that asked the Lord to let all the sinful living entities in the world be delivered, and I'll take their karmic reaction. And Lord Chaitanya told him, he said, that's not even necessary. He said, just the fact that you've appeared in the world, you know, you'll free so many living entities from their karmic reaction. You have desired liberation for all living beings in the entire universe, so it will be so. The Lord didn't deny his request. They will be saved without you having to suffer the consequences of their sins, though. Those whose welfare you desire, they will all become Vaishnavas, and Krishna removes the sins of all those who are Vaishnavas. It's an important sentence there, and that sentence is uttered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna removes the sins of all those who become Vaishnavas. One other interesting thing about Vasudev Dutt, he was extremely generous and very, very accommodating to given charity, very charitably disposed. Too much so, as a matter of fact. He was always in short hand in his own household because he was always giving, you know, somebody needed something, he would give. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noticed this and asked that Shivananda Sen, who was an expert at finances, that he should oversee the activities of Vasudev Dutt so that he wouldn't be destitute and that he would be able to take care of his family and his household. A household which now includes Narayani and young Vrindavan Das. So Narayani was given the service in the home of Vasudev Dutt as the pujari. So you can imagine that this means her little son was always there. When we were living in New York, my wife spent quite a bit of time in the kitchen doing different services. And Namananda, my son, was always there with her. From a young age, he was always shadowing her in the kitchen. And when we were running the restaurant in St. Louis, he was always shadowing her in the kitchen. As a result, he's quite an accomplished cook. So we can just imagine the opportunities, you know, this young Vrindavan Das had. His mother was the pujari for the deity, so he's getting a lot of this type of exposure and access, you know. And he was cared for in this home just like a valuable gem. If you have something of great value, you take very good care of it, you nurture it like this. So, you know, in his youth, of course, he studied all the bhakti shastras. By this point in time, different literatures are being produced by the different great acharyas. And he would always speak about the glories of the acharyas that he had read about. And this is the life he followed, you know, through much of his youth. Now, Vrindavan Das was only 4 years old when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave up his lila, Vrindavan Das Thakur was only in his early 20s. This is his association directly with Lord Chaitanya, therefore, was quite short. It wasn't very long at all, just what he had in it, the little bit of time there. And in his own life, he never took into the married vows. He was never married. And when he departed this world, he had four prominent disciples to which they took the responsibility, particularly one disciple, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, notes by the name of Sri Ram Hari. And he led an entire life of celibacy. And this was, you know, very good quality, very strong point that can be followed. Now, Vrindavan Das Thakur, the smarted brahmanas, they did not consider him to be a properly qualified brahmin. And we saw this, of course, with many of the followers of Lord Chaitanya. Narottam Das Thakur had this difficulty. You know, that it was not an uncommon thing to be judged solely by the bodily connection that you had to your birth. We know, of course, that the pastimes of the Lord, that through the reading of the pastimes of the Lord, that the devotee is not understood in that way. The devotee is appreciated by their activities, not so much concerned by their birth. Now, in spite of all these different obstacles that may have been there, Vrindavan Das Thakur developed a strong attachment to Sri Nityananda. And he was actually, Vrindavan Das Thakur was actually Nityananda's last disciple. And he was extremely favored by him. You know, sometimes that the youngest child gets a little extra attention. We see that happens from time to time. So he took initiation from Nityananda when he was 16 years old. And then he traveled and preached with Nityananda for some time. Here we go. Just about lost this here. Now, According to Kavi Karnapur here again, quoting him from his Gaurgona Desha Deepika, we find that Vrindavan Das Thakur is considered to be an incarnation of Vyasadeva, of Krishna Dvaipana Vyasadeva. Vrindavan Das Thakur mentions just as Vyasadeva wrote the Vedas, Vrindavan Das Thakur has written Chaitanya Bhagavat, and it describes the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in Navadvip. It describes the activities of Lord Chaitanya and gives an understanding of how we can appreciate those activities. Vrindavan Das Thakur was not one to promote himself. Krishnadas Kaviraj had this similar mood in his own writings. And in their own writings, in Krishnadas Kaviraj's Chaitanya Charitamrita and in Vrindavan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Bhagavat, they don't speak about themselves much at all. I mean, they mention themselves, but no great history or personal background or anything of this nature. Krishnadas Kaviraj, he offers the following praise, though, of Vrindavan Das Thakur. He says, hearing the Chaitanya Bhagavat of Vrindavan Das Thakur destroys all misfortune. By reading Chaitanya Bhagavat, one will understand the glories of Lord Chaitanya and the glories of Lord Nityananda and will attain the highest perfection of knowledge, which is pure love for Krishna. Such a wonderful book could not have been written by a human being. It seems that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself has spoken it through the mouth of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. I offer millions of respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of Vrindavan Das Thakur. By compiling such a valuable book, he has delivered everyone from the cycle of birth and death. Now, these are quotes from the Chaitanya Charitamrita written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is giving this much greater appreciation and acknowledgement to what some people might say in literary circles as a competition. You know, each author wants their book to be the book. But here we find that these two are appreciating each other very greatly. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying that this book, Chaitanya Bhagavat, will deliver one from the cycle of birth and death. How much is this also exactly to be applied to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's pastimes? Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote not only the Chaitanya Mangala, but he wrote a book called the Nityananda Charitamrita as well. And these pastimes of these great devotees have been captured here for our benefit. And for our benefit means we have to avail ourselves to them. We have to read them. We have to understand them. We have to dive into them. If someone is the authorized biographer, this means that they have an insight into that personality that is unique. And so Vrindavan Das Thakur is one such authorized biographer of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And it's described here again in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that his ability of speaking has made the pastimes of the Lord sweeter and sweeter. The pastimes of the Lord are sweet, but he describes them as being in such a way that they become not only sweeter, but sweeter than sweeter. So this is the kind of insight that Vrindavan Das Thakur can give to us in his Chaitanya Bhagavat and that we can get from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just close here with one very nice prayer. I'm trying to find it. Vrindavan Das Thakur makes a very strong statement. He says that, let me get the context here. Oh, this is Bhaktisiddhanta quoting those that give criticism to Vrindavan Das Thakur. Such criticism leads personalities to be stuck in the mud of offensive behavior towards Vaishnavas. Vrindavan Das Thakur says, I am ready to kick on the heads of those envious and hellish persons who blaspheming Lord Nityananda. If by doing so, I will be able to forever prevent them from repeating their attempts to show disrespect to Nityananda Prabhu. Not only that, but if by doing so, I can bring about a clear conception of the truth, then I will be performing for them the greatest of service. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes use this phrase, you know, it's a little bit of a harsh phrase for a public speaker, kick on their head, you know, show them the boot, you know, like that. But here we see that Vrindavan Das Thakur says, one who criticizes Lord Nityananda particularly, but Vaishnavas in general, that this is what they should receive. Now, it's not up to us to do that, but the point is being made that it is such a grievous activity to perform. So therefore, he's giving this. There's a nice song I'll close with here from Vrindavan Das Thakur. Nityananda is within and without. He is everywhere within this world. He is the lover. He is the sweetheart. Everyone says it. Nittai is my regulative principle. Nittai is my object of worship. Nittai is the light of my eyes. Nittai is in all the 10 directions. In fact, it is Nittai that fills all the three worlds. Nityananda, as the Nanga Manjari, eternally serves Srimati Radhika. He is non-different than Baladev, whose beautiful face resembles millions of moons and is surrounded by Shakas and Shakis. The sister of Radharani, Ananga Manjari, is very dear to Sri Shyam, and she is the life and soul of the Shakis. She decorates the arena of the temple named Mani Mandira. Nityananda himself sustains the Yogapith and becomes the throne for the Lord to rest on in his expansions. Nityananda also expands himself as the dress and ornaments of the Lord's. He enjoys pastimes with the Lord. What more can I say? Nittai is the eyes, the mouth, and the limbs of everyone. Nittai, 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 Nittai. I only see dancing Nityananda. Raising my hands and chanting Nittai, I will go to Braja. I, Vrindavan Das Thakur, only request that Nityananda will never leave me. So this is the mood of Vrindavan Das Thakur in his praise of Lord Nityananda. And this is a very important mood for us to grasp. Nityananda is present through the manifestation of the spiritual master. And so a very integral part of our life is connected in this way. So these are just some of the glorifications there for Vrindavan Das Thakur and the appreciation of Kadamba Muni being able to understand the mind and needs of his good wife, Devahuti. So we'll finish there. If anybody has any comments, questions, corrections, chastisements, all the above. Sesha Prabhu, my dear friend, yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. You mentioned glorification, literature is glorifying Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Are there such literatures in regard to Advaita? Now, I know I mentioned it specifically Advaita because I've heard the Advaita Prakash is not authorized or something like that, or is it authorized?
I'm sorry, I only got about half of that.
Is the Advaita Prakash authorized?
Ah, well, that is a debatable point, isn't it? I would pass that question to our esteemed writer and Acharya philosopher, Pundarik. What do you got to say on that?
It's not approved literature enough. There's There's some, I don't think it's what it is, what it's meant to be. It's there's some discrepancies in the histories like that are given.
That was very polite. That was very polite. One interesting thing about the Advaita Prakash, since you brought it up, is that in Chaitanya Charitamrita, for instance, the pastimes between Advaita and Nityananda always teasing each other are seen as great fun and amusement by everyone, including Advaita Acharya and Nityananda. And in Advaita Prakash, which is written as it is by Advaita's disciples, the mood is, why does this Nityananda keep bothering our Advaita Acharya? He's a very elevated personality. Why can't he, you know? So it's a different mood, as he's saying, there are some discrepancies there. Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll finish there for today. Try to spend the rest of the day remembering Vrindavan Das Thakur and diving into the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Hare Krishna.